the War on Waste, Innovation, an Encyclopedia of Terms, Phrases, and Concepts by Leonard Bertin, PhD, CEO, University of Oakland, California. Dedicated to my business friends who have helped me stay focused. The introduction. Over the past 25 years, I've been telling people about my work in delivering the War on Waste and the role of tribal knowledge in the program. Unfortunately, I use terms, phrases, and concepts that are crystal clear to me, but are not always entirely obvious to my interested listeners. It turns out we have evolved over 100 terms, phrases, and concepts that are unique to our view of business. And so I would like to explain those terms as best I can so that you will understand them in the context of our business innovation system. Mind you, we didn't invent all these terms. We have just put our own spin on them, and this spin has been able to help the CEOs that we've worked with to manage their companies with our philosophy of business. As a result of this work, many of our client companies have made big improvements in their profits. We have also noticed that some of our clients, roughly 20%, have not made just big developments or improvements, but dramatic improvements in their businesses. And we call these companies Quantum Leap companies. We will explain what they are in the book. It is not sufficient to merely make this observation. We want to know why these quantum leaps occurred. We think we know why, and so we are reporting our findings in this and a number of books in the Tribal Knowledge and War on Waste book series. The Foreword. The Foreword is by Susan Stalick, president of Canal Bridge Consulting of Bethesda, Maryland. Our consulting practice focuses on the public sector market. When I first heard about the War on Waste, I was intrigued. We all hear about the inefficiencies of government and how they abuse the fiduciary and fiscal responsibilities that they have been trusted to manage. But I wanted to know more. When I first talked to Len Bertin, his description of the War on Waste and the role of tribal knowledge in its delivery was a logical way for our consulting business, Canal Bridge Consulting, to bring a message to these organizations. And I think it is a message that they really want to understand. The message is this: there are inefficiencies everywhere. Lynn's War on Waste has been directed at over 150 companies. But those wastes are not just found in government agencies, they're found everywhere. Believe it or not, we can use some of these same techniques that Lynn has applied to manufacturing and other industries to reduce the cost of government. I was consulting in the Washington, D.C. area when the previous administration developed the idea of reinventing government. She wrote this during the Bush administration. The War on Waste is targeted to do just that. All the methodologies are there, and they will work in government. I look forward to making the War on Waste an effective methodology for our clients. It will benefit them and all of us who support the public sector with our taxes. The table of contents reviews 8 sections of the book. The War on Waste, an overview of terms and phrases that we use there. The CEO's job. War on Waste tool. Change issues, management tools, the scientific paradigm, War on Waste consequences, and miscellaneous. The first section, the War on Waste. The role that tribal knowledge plays in the War on Waste is the focus of this book. We have evolved a set of terms that we use when we talk about these processes. HVLC ideas are those that are high value and their benefit to the company, that's the HV, and low cost, that's the LC. We define waste as anything that doesn't add value. The objective of WOW and HVLC ideas is the same, to take high value opportunities involving waste and coming up with LC or low cost solutions. We learn a lot about a company's strategy when we do this. So when you read this section, pay attention as to how this happens. Tribal knowledge. Tribal knowledge is the collective wisdom of the organization. It is the sum of all the knowledge. It is the knowledge that is used to deliver, to support, or to develop value for customers. But it is also all the knowledge that is wrong, imprecise, and useless. It is knowledge of the informal power structure and process, or how things really work and how they ought to. It is knowledge of who constrains the process, who facilitates it. It is the knowledge that is squirreled away by employees who feel a need to protect their jobs by not sharing the information needed to do a job. This is part of the totality of tribal knowledge. For example, it is the knowledge and experience of the assembler who won't tell others how we can put these two casings together when no one else can. That knowledge is his job security, but more importantly, it is the untapped knowledge that remains unused or abused. We spend a lot of time with employees in the war on waste getting to know a company's tribal knowledge. We don't really ask employees to tell us all they know. We go about it in a different way. We get them to talk about their work because that is where their tribal knowledge is. And boy, do they talk. The vast majority of employees love their companies. After all, they get paid to work there. But more importantly, they spend 40 hours a week there and grow to make good friends. So when we go into a company and start asking about how they do things in the framework of our war on waste, people are ready to contribute. The funny thing is that people rarely look at the knowledge that they have accumulated as very valuable to the company, except maybe the guy above who squirrels away key pieces of information to give himself job security. As we go through this book, you'll be exposed to a whole bunch of stuff that contributes to how we both learn about the tribal knowledge and how we make sure everyone is aware of others in the company that have valuable information to help solve a problem. In context, almost everyone wants to help a company get better. And that is what we talk about in this book. Tribal knowledge innovation is all about using the vast resource of information that employees have that makes a company tick and ultimately keep on ticking. The war on waste. We start the book by going back to the basic. Just what is waste? We use Henry Ford as a source because he was the inspiration for the Toyota Production System, the foundation of lean manufacturing and lean business thinking. In the Henry Ford world, assuming for a moment that a corporation should be a waste-free environment, there would be no accountants, no order entry clerks, no purchasing people, no managers, no desks for salesmen, and so on. Why? Because Mr. Ford believed that these functions and activities were not value-adding. In other words, Henry Ford only wanted manufacturing jobs, those that added value, and he practically detested all the other jobs needed to run the administration and support functions of his business. When I stood in front of a group of people and declared a war on waste, I got pushback from the accountants. They were a waste, but a necessary one. So I began to call them necessary waste. Of course, they didn't like that either, So I changed my tune and looked at the glass as half full and elected to call them essential support, as noted in the figure below. And in the figure, I basically break a triangle or a circle into three sections of equal size. One is the essential support function, one is the value-added function, and one is waste. The essential support functions are only essential if they support adding a value. Accountants do something as useful as support for those doing value-added work. That is why the administrative side of the business can generate so much work, so much waste. They don't do value-adding things, and they often lose sight of that fact. They may support the delivery of value, but they don't add the value. So what we do in the War on Waste program is to help teams identify a waste and support them as they figure out how high value and low cost solutions, HVLC solutions, can emerge from the waste. When we start the War on Waste, started it in 1985, the Toyota production system was getting a lot of attention. It was the foundation of the phenomenal success of Toyota in car production quality and efficiency. Taichi Ono, the developer of the Toyota production system, identified seven major wastes, or in his terms, MUDA. First waste, the waste of overproduction. This is the largest waste, making too much of a product and not being able to sell it. Idle finished inventory, or WIP, is a big waste. The waste of time on hand, waiting. Of course, this would be a waste because while a worker is not adding value, he or she is costing the company money by not adding value. The waste of transportation. While products are moving from building to building or around the factory floor, no value is being added to them. This is a big waste. The waste of processing itself. When Taichi Ono looked at many Toyota processes, he found that they were not very efficient in delivering value. They were very wasteful. The changeover of dies was a big waste that translated into time waste. Ono's engineer, Shigeo Shingo, figured out a very clever way to efficiently manage the setup of dies during a changeover. By analyzing his die setup and changeover, he was able to reduce the setup from 24 hours or more to less than 10 minutes. Now that was a big waste elimination. Waste of stock on hand. If you have stock in inventory waiting for production, that is a big waste. It ties up cash. So the concept of just-in-time evolved to make sure that inventory was managed to arrive at a factory just in time to be used in the manufacturing process. The waste of movement. Whenever you look at a factory and see a worker or a pallet of materials moving around a factory, that is waste. People can't add value walking around, and material can't have added value if it is moving around the factory. The waste of making defective products. This is almost obvious, but it is the foundation of the thinking of the total quality management programs of a number of years ago of Phil Crosby and a number of quality gurus. They became phenomenal successes as consultants by focusing their efforts on reducing quality defects. This has in turn led to some current Six Sigma craze. These are well and good, but they don't cover all the areas of waste in a business. They certainly can be guides for how a paper moves through an office. If it waits at any stage, it is a waste of movement. If a worker has a pile of work on her desk and others in the office have no pile of work, then there is an imbalance in the work and process. all of these things have been part of the War on Waste history, and people, if given the chance, will find these problems. So we put our own list together because there are a whole bunch of things that aren't on the Toyota Production System list of wastes. Here's a caution. Don't get hung up on how people categorize waste. That distracts their effort. These categories are only meant to give guides to teams working on a project. They may have a waste that is similar to one of those noted, and when they see it, it just might trigger another way to look at their problem. This is the end of the introduction and chapter 1, part 1. Thank you very much. If you want to find out more about the War on Waste, you can tune in by going to thewaronwasteacademy.com or lenbertainsbooks.com. Thank you very much for your time. Look forward to you in part 2, chapter 1. Thank you.